One of my greatest fears as a preacher, one of my greatest fears as a preacher, it is that you will sit under my ministry and not understand what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. One of my greatest fears is that you will sit under my ministry and not understand what I'm going to say in the next few minutes. Ministry is kind of a weird profession. In fact, I read this week, and I would like to know whether it's true or not. You can't believe everything you read. But I read this week from a fellow that I think knows what he's talking about. But he said the people who go into the full-time ministry, people who go into full-time ministry, 90% of them quit before retirement age. Only 10% spend their entire working life in ministry. My fear is that people listen at me preach and at the end of life not understand the most important thing of all. So I want you to look at your card I put in the bulletin, or either turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. This is basically a summary of what he had been saying from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, all the way through here. That all of us are convicted by the law. All of us are sinners. Every mouth may be closed. In other words, when we face God's law, we don't have a word to say. We can't defend ourselves at all. None. Whatever the law says, it speaks to those under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now let me give you a basic principle of Scripture and then tell you that that won't work for you. Okay? I'm going to give you a basic principle of Scripture and then tell you that won't work for you. A basic principle of Scripture is that God will judge you by your behavior. That's just kind of a basic principle. God's going to judge you by your behavior. God's going to reward the good and punish the bad. And that's, the Scriptures teach that. The only problem with that is all of you are bad. All of you are bad. There is none righteous, not even one. He said that in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. In fact, he said it in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. In fact, 15% of the book of Romans, 15% of the verses mentions sin. And all of us sin. Because, verse 20, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. And just for a moment, I want you to read justified as saved. Okay? Just for a moment. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be saved in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The purpose of the law is to show us that we're sinners. It is not to save us. It is not to save us. You'd be amazed at the number of people who are outside of church, and you ask them about why they should go to heaven, and many of them will tell you because they keep the Ten Commandments. They keep the Ten Commandments, they say. And yet if you would ask them, if you would just ask them, how many lies have you told in your life? How many lies have you told in your life? The ninth of the Ten Commandments says, you shall not lie. In the Bible language, it says you do not bear false witness. What it means, you shall not lie. How many lies have you told in your life? So what do you call a person who tells that many lies? A liar, right? Have you ever taken anything that did not belong to you? Have you ever taken anything that did not belong to you? The eighth commandment says you shall not steal. What do you call a person who takes something that doesn't belong to him? A thief. So far you're a liar and a thief, right? The seventh commandment says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus explained that by saying, if a person looks on a woman with lust for her, he has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So according to Jesus' definition of the seventh commandment, have you ever lusted after anybody? If you've ever lusted after anybody other than your husband or your wife, then Jesus said you committed adultery. So you are a liar and a thief and an adulteress. And then you got nerve enough to tell me you think you're going to heaven because you keep the Ten Commandments. We just covered three. We got seven more to go. You know, we got seven more to go. And you don't have to break every law to be a lawbreaker. If I murdered one person, just one, if in your wildest imagination I treated everybody else perfectly, but I murdered one person, what would the law do to me? I'm guilty of sin. Adam and Eve, I joke about it, and I shouldn't joke about it because it's a very serious matter. Adam and Eve committed one sin, and that had to do with food. You know, they ate something God said don't eat. And the whole world was condemned. The whole world. And you just admitted to yourself, I hope, that you have told numbers of lies. You've taken things that didn't belong to you. You, according to Jesus' definition, you've committed adultery. So what is the purpose of the law? Not to justify you, not to save you, but to show you that you are a sinner. To show you that you're lost. By the works of the law, no flesh, nobody, not one person, by the works of the law, we'll make an exception to that in a minute, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. In theory, there are two ways to be saved. In theory. One is that if you live a perfect life, if you live a perfect life, you could be saved. The other one is that somebody give it to you. That's the only two ways. Only one person has ever lived a perfect life. Who was he? Jesus. And because he lived a perfect life and because he loved you, he decided to take your sins upon himself. No flesh will be justified by the works of the law. No flesh. No one is going to be saved by keeping the law. So if anybody ever tells you or intimidates that they're going to heaven, they say, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. They're not good people. They're sinners. All of us are. Every one of us. And all of our sins condemn us. So we're not justified by the works of the law. Only thing the law does is show me that I'm a sinner. That's all. That's all it does. And it just leaves me there with no hope because I'm a sinner. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, a lot of times when you study in the Bible, it is so simple a child can understand, okay? A lot of things, you shall not lie. You don't have to be too old to know what that is. You not steal. You pretty much know what that is. But there are some things in the Bible that's a little bit difficult. And this phrase here, the righteousness of God, needs a little explanation. The righteousness of God, as it is used here, is not talking about God's righteous qualities. It's not talking about that. It's talking about the righteousness that God will give you if you're saved. The righteousness that God will give you if you're saved. Many of you have seen me do this a number of times, but let me illustrate again, because some of you may not have ever seen me do it. Some of you have seen me do it 99 times. Okay. Let's pretend that this book is a record of your life. Everything you've ever done. And if the Bible is true, and it is, the sins that are in there which separates you from God. If that's you, those sins separate you from God. And on our own, we come up with ideas. I'm going to give more money. I'm going to attend church more. I'm going to do all kinds of stuff, and I'm going to fix it. Still got a problem, because those sins separate you from God. If God's up there, that's you. Those sins separate you from God. They came between you and God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. When Jesus died on the cross, who's that? That's you. What's the problem here? What's in here that's a problem? Sin. That's Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, God punished our sins on Jesus. So therefore, we have right of access to God because Jesus took the punishment for our sins. I'm going to put the book down. I'm going to start over, okay? Got another illustration. This time, let's pretend that this book is a record of Jesus' life. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he never sinned. So his record is perfect. He kept the whole law. When you become a Christian, who's this one? That's you. Who's that one? Jesus. When you become a Christian, God gives you the righteousness of Jesus. And that's the righteousness that we're talking about in this verse. The righteousness of God. The righteousness that God gives to you. So when God judges me on whether I'm going to heaven or hell or not, he doesn't see my sin. What does he see? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. And that one point, that one thing is what every person needs to understand. I don't go to heaven because I'm a good person. I don't go to heaven because I give money to the church. I don't go to heaven because I attend church service. I don't go to heaven because I've memorized several Bible verses. I don't go to heaven because I treat somebody else good. I go to heaven 100% because of Jesus. That's it. That's the whole story. You can put a period at the end of the sentence. That's it. I go to heaven because of Jesus. Not because of me. And yet most of your friends and many people sitting in church this morning has never understood that. They still think they're going to earn their way to heaven by being good enough. And they can never make it. They will never make it. I don't care how many good works they do, it will not overcome the sins that they've committed, and all of them have sinned. How do I know all of them have sinned? Says so. The Bible says so. It's going to say it in the verses we're going to read in a minute. Okay, back to your Bible. Verse 21. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God, that's what we're talking about, the righteousness that God's going to give us, has been manifested by being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the Old Testament predicted this was going to happen. The Old Testament predicted this was going to happen. Isaiah 53:6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That's one place it predicted it. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is a requirement from your part. There is a requirement, and the requirement is faith, biblical faith. Now, if we study Bible faith, we realize that it's not just believing in my head. It's not just faith by itself. Even the demons believe, right? According to James. Even the demons believe and tremble. So faith is a commitment of your life. It is trusting in Jesus. It is depending upon Jesus. It is allowing Jesus to tell you how to live. It is causing you to do works, but those works doesn't save you. It is the faith that saves you, and the faith that saves you is the faith that's in Jesus. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. How many? Who does that include? That includes all, that's right. That includes me, that includes you. Everybody's sin. And sin is a serious matter, and sin separates me from God. The only hope I have of heaven is the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is given to me when I put my faith in Jesus. Being justified. I want to talk about that word justified. Justified is a legal word. It's the kind of thing you would talk about in court. It is a legal word. And legally, in the court system, you are justified. That means you are treated just as if you never sinned. Justified, to be treated just as if you never sinned. And it's a legal term. It has legal ramifications, like you would be in a court. So you're justified. Justified as a gift. Not something you earn, not something you deserve. It is a gift by His grace. What in the world is grace? Unmerited favor. That's God has given me something I don't deserve. So He's saying it twice in this verse. I am justified freely. It is something God gives me, not something I deserve, not something I earn, not something I should have. I should spend eternity in hell burning, because that's what sin does. But if I have eternal life, I have it because I've been justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now, this word is a business word, redemption. That's a business word. What was justified? What kind of word was that? It's a legal term, court system. This is a business term. And if for most of history, America, we look at slavery in a particular narrow view, but for most of history, slavery has been a normal part of life. And it's not always been one race enslaving another race. Most of the time, it has been one nation enslaving another nation. They won them in war and they made slaves out of them. Sometimes it was because a person couldn't pay his bills, and the person who owed the money to, he became a slave to. But to redeem a person means you pay a ransom to set him free. You pay a ransom to set him free. So it's a business term in which you buy a person is a slave, and then he's free. So I've been redeemed. I've been justified. I'll be treated by God just as if I never sinned. I've been ransomed because I was a slave to sin. And God paid the ransom, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I could be redeemed. Where is the redemption according to verse 24? Where is it? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Nowhere else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Nowhere else. Nowhere. Whom God displayed, meaning Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. Now we got a religious word. We had a justified, which was a legal word. We had redemption, which is a business word. Then we got propitiation, which is a religious word. And let me try to illustrate what propitiation is by using an illustration outside of true, the worshipers of true God. Everybody with me? I'm going to use an illustration that's outside not the Jews in the Old Testament that worshiped the God, not the Christian New Testament, other religions. There are many other religions. And in other religions, if you do something wrong, you try to appease your God by giving him something. You try to appease him by giving him something. Or by doing something for him. You appease him so that he will treat you nice. I think of a little 12-year-old boy who broke one of his mother's favorite little doodads. Is that on the table? He broke it. And so she was away. He cleaned the whole house before she comes back. Why would he do that? To try to appease her so she would go light on him. Well, that's what these people do with God. To try to appease their God. Their God's a false God anyway. But anyway, they try to appease him so that he will go light on them. That's the same word that's perpetuation. That Jesus is our appeasement. The amazing thing about it is that we didn't do it. Who did it for us? Jesus did it for us. God did it himself for us so that we would be in good standing in his sight. We're justified because of what Jesus did. We're redeemed because of what Jesus did. Jesus is our perpetuation so that God is appeased and will not punish our sins. Whom God displayed publicly as a perpetuation in his blood through faith. We still have to have faith. We still have to trust in that. We have to depend upon that. We have to rely upon that. This was to demonstrate his righteousness because from the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. Now, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I shouldn't be saying this, but anyway. God broke... I don't like saying it that way. What happened when God allowed the Old Testament saints to be saved was that he saved them before the price was paid. The price was paid when Jesus died on the cross. The Old Testament saints were saved by what was going to happen. Everybody with me? That makes sense? They trusted in the Messiah that was coming, what was going to happen. And so, and I'm having trouble getting illustrations. It's like these people, you remember just a few years ago, you could borrow money, you could buy a house and just pay interest only. You didn't pay anything on the principal. Just paid interest only. Well, that's kind of like what happened in the Old Testament when they shed the blood of the bulls and the goats and all that. It was like interest only. It was nothing on the principal. Only Jesus could pay the real price. But it was like they were paying interest to roll it forward until Jesus died. So, and that's what he's talking about here. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just, he would be righteous, and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. What does the justifier mean? He treats us just as if we never sin, if we have faith in Jesus. He treats us just as if we never sin. So God is just. What that means is God must punish sin. God must punish sin. And if you don't accept the substitute, which is Jesus, your sin will be punished on you. Because God must punish sin. He is a righteous judge. I don't look at TV news very much. It upsets me. But once in a while on TV news, I hear of some, in fact, I heard a couple of weeks ago, some person had raped some young teenager or whatever, and the judge gave him 6 months in jail or something like that. What was our reaction to that? I became angry that the judge would do that. Well, many people think God's going to do that. God's just going to overlook sin. No, God is a just and righteous God. Sin must be punished. He did say, okay, I'll accept the substitute, which is Jesus, but sin must be punished. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Works? No, by the law of faith. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. I'm running out of time, so let me just close with one illustration. If I was swimming and began to drown and call out for help, and when I was growing up, we had fish ponds on our farm, and there was a black guy that came by our store, and he looked like Mr. America or something to me. I mean, he had all kinds of muscles. He looked like he was as strong as Hercules or whatever. And we were down at the pond just swimming and goofing off and all that kind of stuff. And he had jumped in over there and we're going to swim across the corner over here. And halfway across, he called out for help. And somebody jumped in the boat and went and helped him. I mean, he would have drowned. He caught a cramp, what happened to him. And he was going to sink. And somebody went and got him. Well, what would you have thought had that person who was drowning the next day brag about how great he was to hold on to the boat when the fella come got it? How smart I am to do that. What do you think he would have done? He would have bragged about the person who saved him. I heard people brag about how strong their faith is. How strong my faith is. I don't brag about the strength of my faith. I brag about the strength of my Savior. The power of my faith is not in my faith. It is in the one that I have the faith in, who's Jesus. That's what I brag about. That's what I talk about and say, boy, how great Jesus is. Because I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything except to be separated from Him from all eternity. But Jesus shed His blood, and God gave me His righteousness, and I'm saved because of what He did. Not because of what I do, because of what He did. And this passage of Scripture used a legal term, justification. It used a business term, redemption. It used a religious term, perpetuation. And what it means is that Jesus paid the price for me so that now I would have right of access to God. And if you've never accepted that, if you've never put your faith and your trust and your reliance in Jesus, you need to do that now, if not sooner. Okay? Because that's the only way of salvation, is Jesus. The most frustrating way to live, the most frustrating way to live is to think you're going to heaven because of your good works. Because most of us, some days we do pretty good. Never a perfect day, but some days we do pretty good. But some days you a mess. I mean, you just mess up every time we turn around. And boy, if you're depending on that for your salvation, you say, man, I just lost my temper. I knew better, but I just lost it. We talked about three of the Ten Commandments. How about if we'd have talked about another one? It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. How many of you have ever used curse words? And how many times have you done that? It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's one of the top ten. You don't use God's name in vain. And most of us have been guilty of it hundreds of times. The only way of salvation is Jesus. That's it. The only way of salvation is Jesus. You need to put your trust and your faith and your reliance in Him. If God were to ask me, why should I let you into heaven? The answer is Jesus. The answer is not, well, I studied the Bible all my life. The answer is not, I gave 10% of my income to the Lord. The answer is not, I was in church every Sunday. And all of those things are good, and I ought to do all of those things, but none of them are going to get me to heaven. The greatest fear in my ministry, one of the greatest fears in my ministry, is that people will hear me preach and not understand what I said this morning. That somehow they would sit under my ministry for any length of time and then not know that heaven is a free gift and it's given because of what Jesus did for us. I need to put my trust and my faith and my reliance and my dependence in Him. I do need to put that faith there. I need to repent. I need to make a public confession. I need to be baptized into Him. But the key issue is I am trusting in Jesus.